This is Coffee Number 5. I'm your host, Lara Schmoisman.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Coffee Number 5. As you guys know, I don't have a filter. You know that. So I'm ready to talk about business, but I'm also ready about talking about things that are personal. So today I invited someone super dear to me, Lana Kerr. I don't only work with her, but I respect the hell out of her. She's not only an amazing businesswoman, she also believes in helping other women. So welcome, Lana.
Lara, thank you so much for having me on your platform. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm so excited that we're going to have real talk today. Because I know so many can benefit from you, not only your journey, but also from the line that you have created. So let's talk a little, let's go back in time. How did it all started? Because first you were working with weight loss issues.
Yes. Well, okay. So, you know, again, like most things that I get involved in and get passionate about, it usually starts with some need that I have, right? You know, my father has always said in terms of business, you just have to find a need and fill it. And I think that finding things that I need is typical of what another person is going to need. And I kind of get involved in that. So yes, after I was in accounting and finance, which is my educational background, I went back to school, studied nutrition because I wanted to get into beauty and image and weight loss. And I thought that was a big thing for me at that time. And so I got involved in weight loss, and we've helped through our program. We've helped really, I think it's the number is over 30,000 people to achieve their ideal body. And that's kind of what led me into the more the beauty line. I feel like when people, they lose weight, then they start looking at their skin, they start looking at other ways to improve. And so we decided to open a spa. And in that spa, looking for something that would be as unique and as innovative as the weight loss program that we had brought me to carboxytherapy. And that's pretty much how I got into it. You know, when you have a spa, you know, you're going to get people who are trying to sell you products to use. And I didn't want to use something that everyone else was using. And so I would just really interview people and see what they're doing on their skin, if I like their skin. And, you know, one particular woman had talked about carboxytherapy, and I had never heard about it. And I like to know about things that I'd never heard about. And we did a little research, and carboxytherapy was a very old protocol or technology that they were using in Europe. So that's where she would get it done. And we were thinking, let's do this here. But just investigating, getting the machine to deliver the CO2 gas, because that's what carboxytherapy is a therapeutic use of carbon dioxide to regenerate the skin or tissue. And it was just some complications with that. The FDA was not allowing that here. And then we'd have to, how would we leverage it? We'd have to have a medical provider who was providing this. So we just did further research, and we found a group of scientists in Japan that actually patented the technology for which we have the exclusive rights to this technology. And we created CO2 Lift, and we launched it in 2016.
So how was the journey? Because that's going through a lot of loops and trying to find out when FDA gets involved. That's not an easy task. You knew that it was a gut feeling that you had to go with this, because that's a hard one. To decide, I'm gonna do it with it, gonna do this and find the company in Japan and sign an agreement with them and manufacturing. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know what it is? I was just I kind of followed my gut with that. And, you know, I have a great partner, my husband. We've married now. Last year, we celebrated 25 years, but we've been in business together for almost as long as we were married. We've always done things together and collaborated, and everything that we've done, pretty much, if we agree on it and we push forward, we have reached a level of success that we've been happy with. So with this, when this came on, we're both looking for something. And so when I came across this, he started doing research, and we knew that based on the technology, you know, where things were going in skincare, people were looking for non-invasive ways to look younger. And this is a medical treatment that you can do at home. you know, biologics were starting to come in where people wanted to just, they're looking more at the quality of their skin. So we just knew that this would be the way to go. And we just, we kind of dove in because we put a lot of money into it and we did a lot of research before we actually launched. So we just, you know, like everything that we have done in the past, once we kind of made that decision and we put the commitment in, we just, we're going to see it straight through.
I want to say two things. First of all, this treatment really works. I did it myself. Lana saved me a few times, but what she doesn't know, I think, is that I lost over 100 pounds. And this is always my neck. It's something that is very problematic area. And this has been the only treatment that I've been seeing a little difference.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear. Because you know what it is, Lara? It's, in fact, we just completed another clinical just on the standalone benefits of the CO2.
That's what I was going.
Yeah.
So
it's one of the things that was remarkable about it is that it increases elasticity in the skin by 26% after only 6 applications. Now, what you have to understand, one of the investigator, the chief investigator on this with is Dr. Zoe Drelo. She's a very well-respected dermatologist. So she investigates many of the cosmeceutical companies go to her for their clinicals. And this is something that she's never seen. 26% in elasticity is not anything, something that people can claim. I mean, they'll say a measurable increase in elasticity, but for us to actually say 26% increase in elasticity, that's a huge number. And after just 6 treatments, which can be done within a month.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's really amazing. But it's also, we're going to be talking about this a little more because I've been discovering more uses and that I wasn't even aware of. And this is amazing. But for you to go and do these really clinical studies, they're very expensive.
Yes. Yes.
And time-consuming, nerve-wracking, because you don't know what you're going to find.
That's right. I know. Yeah.
So why? Why should you do it? Why you feel like you need to do it for your products? To make claims or just to really know what your products do?
Well, because I want to, first of all, there's so many cosmeceuticals on the market. How do women decide? How do women choose? And it's, a lot of it is not regulated. So before we put something out, I want people to feel confident that we have done the homework. We know that what you're using is going to get what we're promising. And that's very important to me. First of all, for me, I want the results myself because anything that we promote is something that I stand behind, that I've received results, that I want my friends and family to enjoy. And I really, for me to be authentic and for me to be sincere, I have to make sure that it's working. So yes, it's very important. Before we even launched, we started just to make sure what are some of the characteristics about this product that is so unique. And one of the things we found early on was the hydration level. The hydration level was 117% after 1 application. And that's huge. So that's one of the findings. And second to that, Laura, what we wanted to make sure, carboxy therapy, which typically is done well, with a needle. Before that, it was done in carbonic springs, but with a needle, we compared the gel to the needle to see, is it really touching microcirculation? Because we wanted to make sure that people knew that this is really carboxy therapy. And we found that to be the case. In fact, there are other products that claim to be carboxy. We actually did a study with it. We used their products to see, is it really doing that? When we, on further investigation, none of the other products are touching microcirculation. So we can be confident that what we're selling is really being represented. And that's why it's important for us to do clinicals.
Yeah. And I was like, for example, I was talking to my cosmetologist last week, and she not only knew about the product and she was a big fan, she was explaining to me, like, for example, a lot of people, they are doing microneedling. And you just get out of the microneedling. And she said, but why would you leave the microneedling without the facility, without putting something on your skin? Because that's a whole idea of opening your pores so you can really get products.
Yeah.
So there's so much misinformation out there of how to, like, there's all these big treatments, but what do you do about after the treatment? What do you do after you do Morpheus? Or what do you do after even you get a tattoo or you need to heal or even lose weight? There are all these offerings there, but then there's no post treatments.
Yeah. Well, you know, We have two different avenues. We market to physicians, dermatologists, plastic surgeons, gynecologists. And then, of course, we have another formulation of the CO2 lift face that we do direct to consumer. So let's talk about when we even, regardless of what, since we're in that doctor audience, there are other products that do post-care. It's true. The thing about what is different about the CO2 lift is that post-care is supposed to help with healing. So that's what we're doing very effectively. It's helping to heal the skin barrier. Once you've done a procedure, whether you're doing some type of energy-based device or you're doing some type of mechanical device that's now affecting the skin barrier, you need to repair that. So the CO2 lift is the fastest way to do that. But in addition to that, Lara, you're actually doing another treatment. So it's almost like doing a combo treatment, because not only you're repairing the skin barrier, but you're actually trying to support the same results that you just did with the energy base or the mechanical device. Now, you see, when you do an energy or micro needling or mechanical device like that, which by damaging the skin, you're causing the body to start healing, right? So you can control damage so the body can force to start healing. With the CO2 lift, you're doing the same thing without damaging the skin. Because once you put CO2 gas into the skin, the body is going to naturally respond with the healing mechanisms. That's going to start repairing the tissue, thickening the tissue, bringing hydration to the tissue. So if you do it in combination with a procedure, not only are you helping to heal that procedure, but you're actually helping to enhance the results of the procedure.
That's incredible. But then you went a step forward. And you find another problem that a lot of women were having, even having after having kids, or just sneezing and peeing. And yes, that happens to a lot of us out there. But you also got a solution. You found that Carboxy also was a great sexual wellness product.
Yes. Well, so it's, again, going back to my own problems, when I was in my mid-40s, I started noticing a difference in the quality of my intimacy, put it that way. And I spoke to my gynecologist. I was explaining to her that I wasn't feeling the same, you know, after intercourse. And, you know, she proceeded to educate me of what happens to us as we get older, which I don't think many women understand, but that the tissue down there, it's similar to what's on your face. It gets thinner, it gets drier, lack of blood flow. And so because it's getting thinner and drier, you don't naturally lubricate in the same way. And then even sensitivity decreases. So she was recommending a laser procedure, which actually I signed up for because I'm a big believer. If you're going to do something, make sure you're doing it right. Even if it's sex, make sure it's right and you're enjoying it.
Of course.
So I signed up for it. But on leaving, I thought, you know, we have something already that works very similar to energy-based device with no pain involved, no downtime that we're using for the face and the body. Why not?
Did you go and try it? Or
Before I did, I just spoke with one of our advisors who is a gynecologist, a cosmetic gynecologist, spoke to him about what my ideas were. And he says, like, Lana, let's just do a pilot. So we did a pilot, small, just 10 women, but it was double blind, which means the investigator didn't know if it's going to be the ultrasound gel, which is a control, or the CO2 lift technology. And then the patient didn't know which she was using. So we did questionnaires, which were standardized questionnaire forms that measure orgasm, desire, lubrication, appearance. And the women that used ultrasound gel showed no changes, because obviously it's an ultrasound gel. So even the placebo didn't make the effect a change, whereas the women who use the CO2 lift technology showed significant changes in all five areas. So then we did biopsies, and the pathologist, again, didn't know when a woman started or when a woman finished the before and after. And we were able to see the difference in tissue. After only 10 treatments, that tissue looks thick and full of just the hydration. The quality of that tissue looked like the woman was in her 30s. So we got very excited. And then that's why I tried it. No pun on the word excited. And so I tried it and I just thought to myself, oh my goodness, I forgot how it felt. Like, you know, you forget sometimes how
of
things
course. Are. It's like you forget to have having a baby. Otherwise, you don't do it again.
Exactly. So I thought, okay, is my enjoyment just mind over matter? Is it just because I knew that, you know, this is going to produce something? So I gave it to my mom, who is in her 70s, and my aunts in their 60s. And they went from sandpaper to butter. That's what I said. Oh, my goodness, we have something. So then we did a soft launch, and then we did a larger study, which was published in 2020. And then we were currently in the process of doing another study with 60 women. We're adding stress incontinence to that. So I'm excited to see the results. I mean, we already know what they're going to be because we've done the studies already. We just wanted a larger statistical number of women.
But the truth is that it's hard to talk about sex, and it's hard to talk about sexual life and improving your sexual life in this stage of our life when you are a mature woman. And it's something that culturally we are not educated that it's okay to talk about.
Yeah, it's so true. I think this is definitely changing because more conversation is being had about it. But I can certainly say that even when I was in my 30s, I would have loved to have somewhere to go to for a resource, because after children, I remember how things changed for me. And it actually affected my relationship with my husband, because you don't want things in the same. It's just you're tired, you're busy, you don't feel the same way. And if someone was to educate me and said, Lana, you know, when you have children, things change down there too, and gave me a solution, it would have definitely minimize the complication that I had in my own relationship. So I think, no, we're having these conversations more, and women are being more free to talk about it, but there's so much more room for growth.
Absolutely. Now, let's go back to the business part, because you launched this as a professional treatment first, correct?
Correct.
Why did it go in the professional route and not D2C?
Yes, great question. Well, because we wanted the validity and we wanted more of the endorsement of physicians, because again, this is a medical treatment that can be done at home. So in our first year, we had made the decision to only go for core professionals. So they had it and they could only do it in the office. So it was a very expensive treatment at that time to even get it done. You know, the average physician was charging around $300 to $350 to get it done in their office. But we just thought that was a route to go. And when we launched it, in fact, it was more of just skin health. We didn't even do a lot of pre and post procedure, because that came with after doing trials. And a lot of doctors really helped us. You know, I can mention doctors like Dr. Wendy Roberts, a very well-respected dermatologist in Palm Desert, or Dr. Brian Beisman, an oculoplastic surgeon in Tennessee. Basically, what they did is just... Or Dr. Tess Mauricio in San Diego. Basically, they just played with the product. And that helped us, because when they tried it for eczema, it worked. When they tried it for psoriasis, it worked. Or rosacea. When they tried it for prepping the skin, they saw a better outcome. So these things helped us to now go back and do clinical studies and see how this would respond versus what was the standard of care. And we saw it was just an exceptional way. So once we did that launch in the doctor's offices, the next year in 2017, what made us really decide even quicker, because we weren't going to do a direct-to-consumer in 2017. That wasn't the original plan. We were going to wait for 3 years before we went direct-to-consumer, because we thought we needed to wait that time to get that type of buy-in from the physicians. But what we had, one of our doctors in Tennessee actually had a very well influential patient who was getting married. And, you know, she said to him, you know, what can I do before my wedding to really give me that wow? And he said, well, CO2 lift, of course, is what you need to do. So that was her first introduction to CO2 lift. She tried it on her face and she was so impressed. She started telling all her followers about it. And I remember growing in our followers from about 200 to 6,000 followers in 1 month, just from because of her talking about it. So we reached out to her. Of course, she was on her honeymoon. And then I met her when she came back and we talked about it. And she was very excited. She said, Lana, this product, everyone needs to know about it. So we kind of changed the game. We went back to our factory and we kind of just a little different formulation that we wanted to launch to direct to consumer, which we did that year in Black Friday of 2017. And it was a very successful launch. And from there, we just continued in going in that direction.
That's amazing. How was for you to start? Because it's very different, the model. First of all, let's talk about how because you need to have a sales team to work with doctors. It's a completely different infrastructure. So how is different for you to work? How was the model of working with medical facilities and doctors, and how is the infrastructure that it is for D2C? Because you need to maintain both.
Yeah. So yes, we have our two go-to-market strategies. As first, as you mentioned, as we talked about going direct to providers. You know, at first when we started out, it was so interesting because it was just Terry and I. We had a couple other people that were with us. And I remember even in the customer support starting off, you know, I was customer support, you know, because we spent most of our money was in clinicals and in that sort of thing. So in terms of our support, I said, I am a big believer, Lara, in doing everything in my company before I start getting on, because I want to know what they're going to go through so that when I train them.
I'm the same. I did everything in my company. So I can know that my team is doing the right thing. Otherwise, how would you know?
Exactly. So as customer support, I was answering phone calls and I was Alicia. That was my customer support name, because that's what I'm. And when they had a problem, needed to talk to Lana, I would just bring my alter ego, Lana, on the phone. I had some funny stories. I remember one challenge we had, and I had to bring my son just to have another voice. I'm like, Ty, pretend you're my boss. Just talk with him. I mean, just to have a different voice. So customer support, I will fill that role. And then we before we even had a sales force, most of our doctors came from doing meetings with, you know, professionals like dermatology meetings, plastic surgery meetings. And so I would work these booths and I would hire some temp. And oftentimes people, I'd never introduce myself as a CEO. You know, I would just be another worker, you know.
That's a point that when you're working, for example, I always say I'm the CEO of the company. But when I'm working, I'm a project manager, or I'm the designer, or I'm the art director. I have so many different hats and depends on what I'm doing at the moment.
Yes. So I was wearing many hats at that time. So I was just working and I would have a temp. I would train the temp and we would do it. And then I would follow up with the calls. And then eventually I got someone in customer support. They would help follow up on the calls. And then I would fly out to the doctors myself and do the training until we started growing. And then I would get another worker and somebody else. And then, so now we have about 56 people who are independent on that side. And then we have someone who is in charge of them, a VP of marketing and sales that deals with all our providers. So we've grown in the space of the 7 years. So that was that. On the D2C side, you know, when we started, we did influencers. I mean, it's the influencer market is very different now, as you know. But
that increased a lot in that time until now. And you know this well. So I would love to hear how it changed for you, because nowadays I always say that influencer marketing is great for brand awareness, but it doesn't bring you the return of investment many times.
Right. Well, at first it was very impactful. I mean, you're talking about just from Mallory, who made that announcement. We did a great Thanksgiving or Black Friday sales when we started. And we've had other influencers that have been just as impactful in terms of bringing in the dollars, like actually bringing in the business. And then, of course, so many influencers reached out to us and we've worked with them. I feel like maybe, you know, they've helped, obviously, in terms of getting the word out. But in terms of actually changing the dial, that has not been the case. You know, it's very difficult to find someone who is like these individuals. And I'm trying to always understand what was the magic? I think when I look through, I think it's their authenticity. You know, I think that they are just not on the bandwagon.
I think also was timing.
Yes. Yes, true. True.
Back then, influencer marketing were something new and they were perceived as more authentic than nowadays.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Because even some of the ones we used to work, they're just diluted now with so many things.
Also the platforms now, they force them to put sponsor content and all those things. So it's not as perceived as organic content as it was before.
Yeah. All those changes have really affected us. And so we didn't even get to start working with more in terms of paid marketing. We didn't really start that until 2018. And the latter part of 2018. And that was new to me. So I had to kind of learn the ropes of even working with a company. And then we found each other because, again, that's inherent learning. You know, you kind of find out that not everyone is created equal. Not all, you know, agencies can produce in the same way. And I think when you grow, the same agency that took you from one, you know, a certain growth, they're not able to scale in the same way. So then you have to find another team that can help you with that.
I think that depends on the agency and the involvement with the brand. And a lot of people just get lazy. And even happening people that they work with you for a long time. And to me, I'm a go-getter and I always have this motivation. And I'm always trying to learn. But even I had people that work for me that after a while, they feel comfortable. And they don't have that interest in growing with me or with the agency. And I think that happens to a lot of people and even to agencies, that they get comfortable.
I totally agree, Lara. And I know that definitely working with you, I've seen your drive. And I see the thing with it is that I've seen your interest even in working with your team. So it's not about, it's about the team. So you, if you're monitoring your clients and you can see that things are not going well, you as the business owner will change it to make sure that you're still accomplishing your goals. And I think that my experience has been that hasn't been the case with everyone. Even the business owner gets comfortable with their team.
Yeah,
they don't make changes.
I think that in that case, we're both very similar because we both always there.
Yes.
Besides that, if we have a team coming or not, we want to know what's going on. We just don't rely in other people to tell us what's happening.
I mean, you have to, as a leader, to me, as a leader in your organization, you really have to have your thumb on what's going on in every area. Even though, you know, you're going to give some a level of autonomy, you need to check in and make sure that everything is going in the direction that you need for you to continue to grow and be successful in any organization.
Yeah, I mean, being a business owner is not a 9-to-5.
Oh, definitely not. It's not. It's even challenging going on vacation. It's just, you're always,
what's vacation?
I know, right? Well, fortunately, I mean, I'm a little at the point that I can, and you know, because coming from my wellness background, I think that has served me in the sense that regardless of my schedule in really any business, I always see the importance of taking care of myself. You know, I've always told this to my clients when I was working, you know, in weight loss and in coaching. You know, you have to put the mask on yourself. So that is actually something scheduled in my time, my workouts and, you know, a little bit of vacation time. Now I just spent a little longer and now I don't have to be, but I still am in touch. The point is that.
Well, of course, that's what I'm saying. I'm in touch. It's not that.
Yes, you can't. How can you do that? You know,
but so. Also, in many cases, it's even about self-preservation because I don't want to come back and I'm going to see things falling through the cracks.
No, come back to no business. I know. No, definitely. You have to always keep a dial on what's going on. And then I think putting things putting things in place that you can, by looking at certain key areas, you can make sure that everything is happening. Because if you put those things in place, then you don't need to spend as much time checking on. And I feel like that has worked for us. As you continue to grow and you put certain measurements in place, you can actually see. You know, I have a dashboard that of certain things that I look for, and I can, when I log in, I can see it.
Well,
when
I think that also experience give you that, because if you tell me 20 years ago to do the same thing that now I do in a second and I can see it and make a change, it will take me a lot of time of see it. Like even I say to my team many times and I make a changes and they say, how I didn't see it. And for me, it's the first thing that black because I know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, experience definitely, it counts. I mean, I've started my first business when I was 14. I mean, I think that, and you know, growing up in Jamaica, most of us grew up very entrepreneurial. And my father has always taught me that to, as I mentioned before, to find a need and fill it. So I look for something, an opportunity, I do it. And even at that young age of 14, you kind of start thinking, you know, people oriented, and then you think profitability and you start having that. And then that's why I kind of went into that educational background and doing more accounting and finance, because I knew that I would always have a business and I wanted to be able to have that mindset, because you always have to measure your numbers. they're all numbers are going to always kind of bring you back to the different areas of your business and seeing if it's profitable.
That's so interesting you mentioned that, because I've been meeting with a lot of people that they want to start their own businesses and they think that it's all about an idea. And I always say that running a business is to be a risk management.
Oh, definitely. It's a lot of risk you're taking. It definitely starts with an idea, but it's the execution of that. And then you have to think through. So you have to kind of vision the end, you know, who is going to benefit from this? How are you going to, what is your unique selling proposition? I mean, you have to think so many.
Or they think that for having a product, it won't sell. And things don't happen like that. You need marketing. You need sales. You need so many. You have to have a strong foundation. Yeah. Even I always talk about the deck. For me, the deck is, it's so important because it's going to be all the information of your brand that you pass it around. Whoever it's going to be working in your brand need to have that clear.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think just even looking at one of the things I feel maybe I could change, you know, if I went back, sometimes, you know, you find what I notice with people, you can have people who are thinkers and people who are doers. I think I'm definitely more of a doer. And because of that, maybe I didn't think through necessarily everything. Like, in other words, you mentioned having a deck and having everything formal. I kind of jumped or ran before I had everything in place. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I mean, you have to catch up to after.
There's no enough information on how you have to do it. You don't learn that in school. There's no classes that they tell you how to prepare for your business. And when I say risk management is, I produce so much product. I spend so much in marketing. If I hire this person, can I do this? That's why I always say that I'm management and see how, what can I do, what I cannot. And that's for me running a business. I need a team. This is an investment, having a team.
Yes, it is. It is, definitely. And I mean, I think, and then of course, the better qualified they are, you know, I think one of the things that I've always done because I've always looked for great talent, and I think we've always attracted people that believe in the same vision. And so you have to compensate them based on, you know, you have to give them a stake in it. You have to make them feel like this is something that they're part of. And I feel by doing that, you can prevent having to do everything up front. Because if you get the buy-in, they're invested. And they see that they're going to profit when this is going in the direction that we expect to go in. But I think definitely, as you said, it's attracting great people to you is something that I think is truly important, because you cannot grow a business on your own. You need a great team. And I've really always been grateful and feel blessed that I've always attracted people who are buying in. Bringing you on our team, Lara, I think it's something that you fit what we're looking for. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, I've always had the ability to attract people like yourself who have smarts, who want to help and who want to move forward and take my vision in the direction that I want to go. And I think that's something.
You have a wonderful brand and you make us feel involved, everyone that works with you. And you are a great leader that listens to the team.
Thank you.
And then I think it's wonderful. Well, I mean, I think this is one of the longest podcasts I ever had, because I feel just that
I could talk. Lara, you really did, though. I'm telling you, I feel like we're just having a chat on a cup of coffee. I could continue forever with you. Seriously.
I do too. Lana, thank you so much for being today here in Coffee Number 5. And to you guys, I will see you with more Coffee Number 5 next week.
Find everything you need at larashmoisman.com. or in the episode notes right below. Don't forget to subscribe.
It was so good to have you here today. See you next time. Catch you on the flip side. Ciao, ciao.